let's do that hockey.
Well, it can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Anthony, the backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
Doing fantastic, buddy.
What's up with that? What's up with that shit-eating grin on your face?
I'm just happy to be here, man.
Are you happy to be here?
I'm just happy to be here. We're recording on Saturday, January 4th.
Is it the 4th? Is that what today's date is?
It is the 4th, and it's a day full of hockey. There's 3 1 o'clock games, a 2 o'clock game. You got the World Junior Championships on. There's hockey all through the night, and we get to close it down with the Rangers on at 10 tonight. It's going to be a beautiful day.
We get to watch the Rangers get shit pumped by Vancouver.
In between that, I'll throw some football on. There's AFC games on today.
Yeah, 2 wild card games today.
Yeah, I'll watch those today, but it's mostly going to be about hockey.
Would you rather watch the Rangers get shit pumped by Vancouver tonight, or would you rather watch one of the NFL playoff games?
I love hockey, so I'd still watch.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough, because the Rangers entered.
Because that way I can still watch Thatcher Demko and some of the young guns from Vancouver, like Quinn Hughes and our boy JT Miller.
You know, Thatcher Demko is not the starter for Vancouver, right?
He's in a lot of their games that I play. They do more of a tandem thing.
Jacob Markstrom's the starter for.
They do more of a tandem.
I mean, well, little spoiler for
look at
news.
Look at their games.
Little spoiler for our news and notes segment. Jacob Markstrom is an all-star for Vancouver. So
honestly, they both could be.
Okay.
They both could be. They've both been pretty good for them.
That's fair. That's fair. We've got a great show ahead of us, though, folks. You probably realize that our intro featured a pretty famous guest featuring Kevin Weeks. We do want to thank him for helping out the show, doing the intro for our show, helping us out.
You got it, buddy?
I have been sick all week.
Oh, come on.
You hear it in my voice. I have been congested.
You always do this. You can't talk.
That is true. That is true.
Don't blame it on the sickness.
It doesn't help that I'm down with the sickness, okay?
Oh, wow.
That's such a terrible song. But let's get into it, buddy.
Bro. Watch your mouth, bro.
Isn't that Disturbed?
Yeah, it's Disturbed, bro.
What?
I said, yeah, it's Disturbed, bro.
Emphasis on the bro?
Emphasis on the bro.
Let's get into it, buddy. We've got a great show ahead of us, though. We've got Pims of the Week. We've got Start, Sits, Call-Ups. We've got the main event of the show. We're doing New Year's resolutions for a few teams that are hand-selected by yours truly here, me. New Year's resolutions coming up at the end of the show. But first, we get into it. Pims of the Week.
Pims of the Week.
Yeah, we're already on the same page.
Pims of the Week.
Oh, this is perfect.
Pims of the Week.
That gets you giddy every
time.
It's
a great drop. I love hearing Brett's voice. I miss that guy.
We can call him mid-show if you want. Nah, we don't have to do that. I don't think he's awake right now.
You made it weird.
You made it weird. All right, let's get into it, buddy. 2 minutes here. We started off the Pims of the Week here with our 2 minutes going to Corey Perry for his early exit during the Winter Classic for his high hit on Ryan Ellis at the blue line during the first period. I believe it was about like 17 minutes left in the first period, so around like 3 minutes into the first period. Corey Perry drives an elbow right into Ryan Ellis's head. I personally didn't think Corey Perry meant to do that. We've seen Corey Perry do a lot of things that are very questionable and it looks like intentional. This doesn't seem like that, but what we're giving a pim to is getting all hyped up and dressed up for the Winter Classic and exiting 3 minutes into the game. That sucks, man. That absolutely sucks. You literally get dressed up and then you have to walk back. And not to mention, it's a far walk back to your locker room with all of the fans looking at, like, you are literally the center of attention walking back to the locker room after you only played 3 minutes of the hockey game.
Yeah, you're all gassed up to play. You're hydrated. You had your pregame. You're all jacked
the
up,
boys
ready
are
to play. 3 minutes in, you're done. And he knew it almost immediately. He was going in for the hit on Ellis. He realized he wasn't going to hit him. So he just tries to get a piece of him. Unfortunately, it's elbow straight to the jaw. And he knew he was going to be gone. I mean, like, he knew he was wasting his time going to the penalty box. It just took a few minutes for the refs to deliberate. He knew he was gone. His teammates knew he was gone. And you could see him literally be like, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he literally...
Excuse my language there, but
watch your French, buddy.
His words, not mine. He knew he was gone as soon as it happened.
He literally dropped his arms. Like, once the hit was made, he stopped and was just like,
yep.
Oh, no.
He was done. And Corey Perry's known a little bit for being a rat around the league throughout his career. And so immediately when he does stuff like that, anyone, all the Corey Perry haters are immediately going to say, oh, dirty play, yada, yada, yada. But this was more of a bang, bang, quick hockey play, unfortunate result. And that's the thing. We're not, just to be clear, this isn't a PIM on this, on the suspension.
On the hit itself or the suspension. Hit itself.
It was warranted. He should have been thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
Elbow to head. It's an easy call for the refs once they saw the replay.
And it's more about
it's more of him having to take this long walk of shame 3 minutes into the game after putting on those sweet jerseys, getting all jacked up to play, and then nope.
Boys are buzzing.
Have you seen some of the memes?
No. There's memes about this?
There's some good memes, like they're playing songs in the background of him walking. Like, because it's like a 3 minute walk.
Yeah,
he played for three minutes, and then he took a 3 minute walk.
He spent more time walking back to the locker room than he did actually playing the game. He spent more time walking back than he did on the ice. So 2 minutes going to Corey Perry for his walk of shame during the Winter Classic. We move on to our 4 minutes here. Oh man, this one kind of grinds my gears a little bit, Anthony. 4 minutes is going to the NHL for suspending players for one game for backing out of the All-Star game. Now, I've seen sides. There's two different sides here. There's a side that says he should be punished for backing out of the All-Star game. It should be an honor. It should be a privilege. The fans want to see it, and he backed out of it, so he should be punished for it. I disagree with that. What I'm talking about here is Alexander Ovechkin specifically backed out of the All-Star game after being named captain of the Metropolitan Division. And Alexander Ovechkin's in his 30s, and he's a veteran of the game. And the All-Star break for most players is a time off to relax, recuperate, rest up, and get ready for the second half of the season and get ready for that playoff push. Alexander Ovechkin wants to take a break, relax, rest up, recharge the batteries. And the NHL suspends him for one game and punishes him for that. Anthony, what are your thoughts on this?
I absolutely agree with this being a PIM. I disagree with the NHL's decision to suspend players for wanting to rest their body for the playoff push. I feel like that's more important. And honestly, the All-Star games, and we've talked about this on the show at length, All-Star games are not that exciting.
They're not.
The skills contest is pretty cool. You love to see that. And Ovi, because of his huge personality specifically, will be missed. But most of the other players that are opting out, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And they need to do something for the All-Star game. If they want to make it more exciting, they need to change it up. We know that in the past they've done like North America versus the world or Europe versus North America. Things like that are cool. If they want to do another like player draft, that's cool. They need to find ways to spice it up so they're not relying on specific players being there all the time, because I think that these guys have a right to want to rest and recover their body for that week so they can get ready for the second half of the season.
And I'm okay with it also for Ovechkin missing and maybe another player getting in that you wouldn't have expected to see. I mean, that was what the All-Star game was all about. I believe 2 years ago when John Scott was voted in, you were excited to see a player that was not expected to be there, and he himself took it and ran with it, and he made it a lot more fun. You see these players now, if you give the other players a chance who don't normally get to the All-Star game, they'll probably make it a lot more worth it than probably of Ovechkin, who might not have been as interested.
Absolutely, and they talked about this a bit on Chiglets this week. They were talking about the same issue, the All-Star game, how it's just not very exciting. And one thing that they had mentioned was that the game itself isn't exciting, and a lot of the guys who have gone for like 5-6 years in a row, they're just like, okay, been there, done that, had the week. It's just that, and that they, newness wore off. But if you're putting in more of like the young stars of the day, right now the young stars I would say are like McDavid and Matthews. Those are the guys that I think should be there and should be highlighting everything. And I think that may make things more exciting.
I think, and obviously, the All-Star game and Pro Bowls and things like that for all sports are a problem, and every sport is going through that. How do we make our All-Star game better? And you know, baseball does something that you actually made me think of. Baseball does a Young Stars game, like the day before the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And that'd be kind of cool to be a part of All-Star Weekend as a Young Stars game for that.
Or you know what they did a while back that I loved and I wish they'd bring back? Celebrity All-Star games.
Yeah,
I think
fun.
They did. I think they did they one did a few one. Years ago. I think Bieber played in it like 3 or 4 years ago.
Did you see Bieber challenge Jordan Binnington to a breakaway challenge?
Yeah, and I think Chiglets is going to
Really? That's going to be a thing?
Chiglis is trying to take it over. So what they suggested was if Bieber scores, then they would pay the $10,000 to the charity for Bennington if they could use that as a content piece for Chiglis. So that would be very exciting to watch. That dude, Bennington, just he's got ice in his veins.
He's
got ice in his veins. This guy, he's like, it goes back to the comments at the beginning. I think in last February, do I look nervous?
Exactly. He is so much fun,
and he lives that.
Dude, he's in the All Star game.
Yeah, that's a guy you want to see in the All Star game to spice it up.
That 100%.
He's got a fun personality that I think this is a perfect time for that to come out. So guys like Bennington and younger players of the day, I feel like it's could be their time to shine in the All-Star game and have some fun and kind of let their personalities be known.
Yeah, definitely. So we're giving 4 minutes to the suspension of players who decide to back out of the All-Star game. Anthony, it's time for our 5 minutes here, buddy. 5 minutes going to Arizona Coyotes prospect Barrett Hayden for not taking his bucket off during the national anthem after his Team Canada was defeated by Russia during the preliminary rounds of the World Junior Championships. This was news everywhere, that it was going around the internet of the handshake line, and one of the Russian players literally pointing to his head saying, "I'm not shaking your hand." Because
a few of them didn't shake. There was
four straight players didn't.
And then they didn't shake his hand. I was like, wow. So there was just a lot of controversy with that. To me, a part of it makes it more exciting because it helps add on to that rivalry that they already have going. But on the same token, you can't disrespect the anthem and then get blown out 6-1. To me, that's more of the sit than anything here, is to be disrespectful like that. And it was obvious too. He apologized, a half-assed apology after the fact.
Yeah,
no one's buying it. If they win that game, I think it comes off as differently. I think you see the Canadians as like these cocky kids who are just really good, and you know they can kind of back up what they're doing. But getting smoked 6-1 by the Russians makes it look so much worse. And to me, that's more of a sit than the bucket issue himself.
Pim
itself.
Pim. It's sit.
Yeah, a Pim more than the bucket issue itself.
Yeah, I mean, I just it's just completely disrespectful. And I mean, you think about it too. Like some guys are just saying, like trying to defend it, saying it's the emotions running wild. He's a kid. Let it go. But think about it this way. You yourself, Anthony, before the show, you talked about how you didn't really like Russia. You don't like the
I'd still rather see Canada beat Russia. I don't.
Exactly.
I think Russia, in their own way, is more cocky than than Canada. It an example, they ended up winning against Sweden a few minutes ago in overtime. And prior to that, they had scored a go-ahead goal, I think, in the second period, where the Russian kid grabs his crest on the way to the bench, skates by the Team Sweden bench, and he shoves it in their face the whole way there. That's a shit move right there.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's a shitbag move.
It is. And I mean, but my point
being, they're notorious for doing stuff like that at the World Juniors.
My point being, though, is you're not the only one who thinks that about Russia. And if it was to be the other way around and a Russian player decides not to take his bucket off during the Canadian national anthem, there would be no one defending the Russian player. No one. It would be completely
Absolutely
against
not.
Him.
Absolutely
so,
not.
So I don't like seeing the people defend Barrett Hayden for his actions.
Now, I will honestly say this. If the Russian player disrespected the Canadian national anthem and then the Russians continued to win 6-1 and blow them out, I personally would have been like, yeah, that's a real shitbag move. But damn, they blew them out 6-1.
Yeah.
You know, they're cocky little kids. But I feel like winning the game means so much
in
situations like that when you're – to me anyways. Like when I play and I see something like that happen in a game – and I'm like, wow, like that was a real dirtbag move. Like now I want to beat these guys even more.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to give – it kind of goes back to what he did – to what Barrett Hayden did. You don't want to give one of your biggest rivals in the world more fuel to want to beat you.
Yeah, yeah. It's not –
that's exactly what he did there.
You don't want to make bulletin board material is what they call it. And
bulletin board material was created that day and will go on throughout the tournament. And if they meet again in the championship,
they
know it's going to come up.
Russia – like you said, Russia defeated Sweden in overtime.
Who does Canada play?
Finland. Finland shut out Team USA 1-0.
Finland won last year, right?
In the World Juniors? I believe so, yes.
That was
– yes.
Yeah.
That was
Kako's team.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Rangers in a little bit.
I have a lot to say about the New York Rangers today. Everyone knows that we're Rangers guys. We try to keep it limited because we could go on all day, but
This has to be said again.
Today, some things will be unleashed about the Rangers in our sit section.
Definitely, definitely. So that was our
moving on.
That was our Pims of the Week segment. 5 minutes going to Barrett Hayton for not taking his bucket off during the anthem. 4 minutes going to the All-Star Game suspensions handed out. And 2 minutes going to Corey Perry for his quick exit of the Winter Classic. That one's just funny to me. That one, just the quick exit. It's just like,
have you ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I haven't.
Is that another
shitty show you watch?
No, it's on HBO. It's with Larry David, the guy who created
Seinfeld.
Okay, Seinfeld. Yeah, yes, the Seinfeld guy. Well, the theme song is kind of goofy. It's like, da, 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 da. They were playing that song looped with the Walk of Shame, and it was just really, really funny.
Oh, that's
great.
I'll
show
you it to
you.
You should definitely tweet that at the Power Play Podcast.
If I can find the video, I'll tweet it.
Don't hold me to it. Don't hold me to it.
But hey, guess who posted the setup of the week last week?
I did.
This guy.
No, I did.
No, I did.
Mm, oh, yeah, you did after I told you to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony Pagliarulo.
Yeah. Carmine.
Yeah.
His name is Carmine, which is funny because Anthony's – well, okay, before we get into – so we're going to move on to news and notes from around the league. But before we get into news and notes from around the league, I would like to give a special shout-out to the future Milani that is going to be entering this world. Anthony found out yesterday that there is going to be a baby boy entering this world.
Baby boy.
For the Milani family, Anthony and his wife Alyssa are going to be welcoming a brand-new baby boy to this world. What, July? June? Is that a thing? Which one?
June 16th is the official due date, but, you know, that could change. We are very excited to bring in this little hockey player.
Yeah, dude, it's good. He's already the guy has already bought knee hockey, a whole knee hockey set.
As soon as that little thing on whatever it is, that the video thing, as she typed in boy in the middle because she saw his little penis.
little John Wayne hanging around.
His little schmeck. As soon as she saw the little schmeck. I got on Amazon and I was like, I'm buying mini sticks, and I got a good deal on a set. It was a set for two nets, and it came with a lefty and a righty and two goalie sticks and a couple of little foam balls like we used to use.
So Alicia, my fiance, said to me the other day, she's like, wait a second, why did he buy knee hockey sets? He's not going to be able to use that with the kid until he's like 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, and in those 3 years where he can't use them, guess who's using them?
That's true. Or you can just. You can just place the baby in front of the net and he can be a goalie while you just shoot on him.
That's a great idea.
You think Alyssa would like that?
Yeah, she's not gonna be home all the time. I'll get him a little goalie mask.
They have those little bouncing things that you put the baby in.
Yeah. I'll just put him at that. That way he's like moving too.
Exactly.
Like, it's like a moving target.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You might get some shit for if you hit him in the head with a puck.
I'll put some pads on him. It'll be all right.
So congratulations, Anthony, for the announcement of the baby boy entering this world June 16th, you said.
Ish, somewhere around there. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, of course. So we move on here, though. I hope you're well rested, because it's time for news and notes from around the league. Anthony, are you ready to hit us with the news and notes from around the league?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hold on, you're scrolling. Hold on.
Hey! I did it on the fly, but I'm ready.
No, I'm ready.
I'm here.
I'm not talking about that. I'm gonna pull the curtain back here. When we were doing Pims of the Week and we were going over it, Anthony's scrolling through our show doc in our notes section.
This is before we started recording. We were just kind of going over the show.
And Anthony is looking for the Pims of the Week. It is in the same spot every single week. And this guy's, where's the notes at?
To be fair, there is a lot on this note page that we don't even use.
Yes, there is. No,
there's like
not.
This whole main event section of a bunch of things that we don't talk about. There's segment.
What are you talking about? The main
there's
event
segment
is our main
ideas.
Event.
There's a B-dubs bet section.
Okay, yeah, that stuff's all wrong.
There's so
That's
much.
Fair.
There's so much on here. I had to weed through all that stuff.
Weed through all that stuff. It's at the top. Okay. All right.
You know what we need? Do we have a drop for this? We need like a news drop, like a doot doot.
I mean,
Okay, I like that. There it is. You just blew my eardrums out.
I blew everyone's eardrums out. I'm gonna have to mess with that one. All right, let's go. News and notes from around the league.
News and notes from around the league. We got
presented by Anthony Milani.
Corey Perry, as mentioned earlier, he got a 5-game suspension for that hit on Ryan Ellis. I think it's fair. I think the league's really trying to make a statement with these headshots, as they've been doing all year. No problems with that. Flower backs out of the All-Star game, is being replaced by Jacob Markstrom, who we talked about. Did we talk about it on the air or off the air?
We talked about
it
off the air.
Off the air. So we talked about it off the air that Jacob Markstrom and Thatcher Demko have been doing awesome together this year. Jacob Markstrom gets the nod because he's technically the starting goaltender. Some more news about Flower. He's become the sixth winningest NHL goaltender in the history of the game on Wednesday night. All-Star game coaches have been announced. Butch Cassidy
and the Sundance Kids.
For the Atlantic. Todd Reirden for the Metro. Craig Berube, of course, Stanley Cup champ for the Central, and Gerard Gallant for the Pacific.
Can someone get the Anthony the Atlantic teams?
Please tweet that out. The Wild are going to host the 2021 Winter Classic. I listened to our boy Brett's show. He is really high on them playing the Winnipeg Jets. He doesn't want to see the Blackhawks. So if you are a Wild fan out there, let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. See if you guys rather play the Blackhawks, the Jets, whoever else in that division.
Maybe the Stars, another Stars, a little North Stars, little.
A little more Winter Classic news. The Cotton Bowl Winter Classic attendance was the second best of all time with 85,000. The only Winter Classic that had more was the one that was in Michigan.
Yeah, in Detroit.
And that
yeah.
was number one with 105,000 people there.
Hockey is not dead in the South.
No, it is not. It was awesome to see. And the guys from Chicklets were there. They were talking about what an atmosphere it was. They said Notre Dame was awesome, but the atmosphere and the festivities were so much more involved this year. So you love to hear that. Last, to round out the news and notes, we have Victor Olofsson. He's out 5 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury suffered against the Oilers. And in parentheses, you wrote, toe-picked and went down hard.
Yeah, he...
Can you explain that one, buddy?
It was the Sabres against the Oilers, and Victor Olofsson literally took a shot, or sent the puck to the slot, and no one was on him, no one was really pressuring him, and he just toe-picked. His skate got caught up in the ice, and he just went down really awkwardly. His legs got tangled up. It was just not a good scene for Buffalo Sabres.
Definitely tough.
Victor Olofsson is probably one of the front runners for the Calder Trophy this season. He's been red hot for the Buffalo Sabres. So we wish him the best in his recovery with his 5 to 6 week recovery time. So it's a big blow to the Buffalo Sabres, Anthony. Big blow.
Yeah, and they're still hanging on to a playoff spot. They've had a pretty good season. It's not like last year when they went on that run and then that was it. They've been able to stay pretty consistent, thanks mostly, I think, to their captain, Jack Eichel. He is an unreal hockey player.
You know, I was actually listening to one of our shows, one of our old shows. The Sabres are in the Metro. Are they in the Metro? Let's see. Someone get me the Metro teams.
The Sabres are in the Atlantic, buddy.
So when we were doing our Atlantic Division preview, you talked about how Jack Eichel has been very disappointing up to this point, and you were basically shitting on him throughout the entire Atlantic preview, saying that Jack Eichel was not what we thought he would be, and he was very disappointing throughout up until this point. And he basically heard you and said, "Hey, Anthony, okay."
I'm fine with that because honestly, I like Jack Eichel. In the year he was drafted, he was second only to Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Okay, so in any other year for the past 10 years,
he would have been first.
He would have been number one overall. He would have went to Edmonton.
He would have went to Edmonton. So, he would have went to die in Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. So he's kind of had that to overcome his whole career. And he's shown this year, I think, especially, he's made that next step. He's been a great captain for them. The other night,
he's so hyped too.
The other night, oh yeah, and he gets so jacked.
He gets so hyped.
You can tell the guys on the team just love him. Every time he scores, they're tackling him on the ice pretty much.
Pumping up the crowd too on the
sellies. just a little shot to his, not shot to, but a little compliment to him. The other night in Tampa, they actually lost this game, I think like 6-4 or whatever. But they had the lead for a while, and one of the goals that Jack Eichel had, it was coast to coast the whole way. No one could touch him. He was so fast. Beats Vasilevsky. It was an unreal move. Again, we'll try to tweet it out. No promises
no
here.
Promises.
I can barely get the
it.
Setup of the week out, so don't hold me to it.
One step at a time, baby steps.
Yeah.
Baby steps. He's got a kid on the way, okay?
I've got kids.
He's got kids. I'm your poppy.
Dominique.
Okay. Moving on here,
there's going to be at least one person who gets that.
Brett will get it. No, Brett might not get it.
Brett's a newer. But let's, you know what?
Let's leave it at that. Okay.
Let's see if anyone says anything.
Let's leave it at that. Moving on here, we're going into our starts, sits, and call-ups. But before we get into our starts, sits, call-ups, I would like to remind everyone to check us out on all social media at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. Without further ado, though, let's get into our starts, sits, call-ups. Anthony, where are you going first?
Where am I going first? I am going to find my starts, sits, call-ups in the notes here. Found them. Great. I'm going to go ahead and call up Ilya Kovalchuk. He signed a deal with the Montreal Canadiens. $700,000 at the NHL level and $70,000 at the AHL level, so obviously two-way contract there. But I'm happy for a guy who's older in the league, still trying to stay and improve that he can play still. So happy for him. Hope he gets his opportunity. I was pretty high on him when he signed with the Kings, and I was very wrong about that. I said he was going to get 20 goals that year, and I think he ended up at 16.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were right because a lot of people didn't have the faith in them. I guess they were right to do so. I think now there's a lot less pressure on him to be successful because he's at, you know, he's at the minimum contract with the Canadiens. He's going to be more of just a role player for them. But he's an older guy. He's obviously lost some of his speed, but he's still Ilya Kovalchuk. We've seen the things he can do.
Bingo.
I think maybe in a less pressure role, you're going to be able to see him thrive more because there's obviously going to be less ice time, which isn't great, but the guys he's going to be playing against, I think, is going to make the difference there.
I think, like you said, the pressure is not going to be on him as much in Montreal. He's purely brought in to be a depth move for Montreal, and I think a lot of people were looking at, like, I saw people talking about how it's a stupid signing for Montreal. He was garbage in L.A. Rightfully so. He was not very good in L.A., but yeah. The thing is, This is a minor league. This is basically a minor league contract here. He is not getting paid that much money.
No, it's
The potential for Ilya Kovalchuk is, I mean, he still could be a high level top six forward in the league. On a team.
And if he's not, you're paying him the league minimum.
Exactly. So it really isn't that big of a deal. And for a team like Montreal, who is fighting for a playoff spot, why not bring in some depth? In the form of someone who has done it before. So I do like that call up, Anthony. Where are you going to next?
I'm
going
to go to my start.
Wild card.
Wild carding up to my start. I'm going to start the Dallas Stars and their Winter Classic victory. It was a come from behind victory over the Nashville Predators. And I'm also going to mention that they've won two straight to start the new year. This is the team that I picked to come out of the West at the beginning of the year. They had a rough start. They're finally rolling. I think they have it. I know it's early, but I think these guys, just from what I've seen, last night they played a very lesser opponent in the Detroit Red Wings.
Oof.
But the way they handled the Red Wings, it was just surgical. Just forcing turnovers in the neutral zone, getting their chances, playing solid D. It was just a very well-played game, and that's what you have to do to lesser opponents. You know, we've seen teams like, for example, the Lightning, who are a great team and have beat great opponents.
But they don't show up against
lesser opponents. It's like they overlook them. Not overlooking lesser opponents and taking care of business, there's something to be said for that.
It's a professional thing to do.
I think it has to do with their coaching. Rick Bonus, since he's taken over,
He's been very good for Dallas.
They were on a winning streak when he took over, which is kind of weird. But since he took over, they didn't miss a beat. They keep rolling. This guy has tons of NHL experience. He knows how to get it done at the NHL level. So I'm going to start the Dallas Stars, and I think that's like the second or third time I've started them this season, and I'm going to keep on starting them because I'm super pumped about them and the possibility that I could be right.
Maybe.
Because they've actually been playing very well.
We
beat ups bet them too. We have it here.
Oh, yeah. Dallas. I said Dallas would miss the playoffs.
Yes, you did. Oof. And you're gonna lose that bet, buddy.
And we also bet that if they do make the playoffs, that they make the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
So that one's not necessarily.
Yes. I'll even further. I'll beat up's bet that they get out of the West.
Side note here.
Wait.
You want to beat up's bet that they don't
that they get out of the West, that they make it to the finals.
I'm not beat up's betting that.
All right.
I am slowly starting. After what I saw against Nashville, they look like a complete team. They look like
man,
a complete
it was good.
Team. Ben Bishop is playing very well.
Big Ben Bishop.
And you know what? Side note here, side tangent here. The West is good. The West is
a lot of good teams.
There are a lot of good teams in the West, man. I was looking when I was doing the notes and stuff, looking over everything. I saw that I was like trying to pull storylines from each conference. I don't know why there was a little brain fart there. I was trying to pull stories from each conference, and I'm looking over the teams and things like that, and I'm like looking at the West, and I'm like, damn, the West is really, really good. I don't understand. Like the East, there's teams, there's a lot of parity everywhere, but the West is a good conference.
No, I agree 100%. And the problem is
you have to pee.
Yeah, I text you, bro, to pause it.
You have to. I was about to. That's what I try to leave off on. We're going to keep this in the show.
Okay, well, whatever.
We're keeping this in the show.
Let me say this one last thing, then, before we...
We're about to have...
Before we don't pause.
Anthony has the bladder of an 80-year-old woman.
I drank this coffee, buddy.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Or grande.
Before I forget my thought here, the thing about the West is you still have the teams who you expected to be good this year, but now you also have the Canucks and the Coyotes who have overperformed to this point. And I think that is creating a much more competitive environment in their divisions.
I mean, Vancouver was one of the worst teams in the West last year.
Yep.
And now they are They're one of the top teams. So, yeah. I mean, it is definitely fun to see. The West is great to see. Are you holding your finger up for me to stop? Or are you holding
I have one more. I have one more. I have
go
one
to
more
the
thing
bathroom.
To say. I have one more thing to say. So it goes back to what we've talked about at length at this on this show is the parity in the league. Teams are watching how other teams are being successful. They're copying that. They're putting that on paper. You've seen it with the Canucks this year. You've seen it with the Coyotes. Both teams have tandem goaltenders, which we've seen work in Boston. Even when we're talking about St. Louis.
Long Island, Carolina.
Even when we're talking about St. Louis's win last year, Jordan Binnington came in half the season. So even though he's their primary starting goaltender, he still wasn't relied on heavily the entire season. He got his rest, and he was awesome in the playoffs. So that is what we're seeing in the West, and that's why we're seeing it. It's the parity that other teams who are down in the basement in 2018, 2019, they've been able to capture what was being successful for the St. Louis Blues, for the Nashville Predators for such a long time, the San Jose Sharks for such a long time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's a copycat league, and all the teams are, I mean, they're following that trend. But Anthony, you have a sit to get into. But before we get into the sit, you have to go pee.
Yes, please.
I'm going to put elevator music right here. And now. And we are back. Anthony is back from his pee. The elevator music played. And Anthony has a sit that is going to get him hot.
Yes, I am sitting head coach for the New York Rangers, David Quinn. This guy. He just can't figure it out. He can't figure out how to make the jump from college to the NHL. If a player gets a 2-minute minor, he's benched for half a period. We saw it with Brady Shea and Kaapo last game. Stop benching your star players. Put your best foot forward, and you'll be able to score some goals in key times.
He's switching goalies like nothing.
You know how I know that? Because Kaapo actually scored a key goal in a key moment last game before he was benched. So a guy who's obviously hot, he got off like a 20 game goal drought. Now he's actually scoring, and you're gonna bench him because of a chintzy minor call.
Yeah, I mean it's driving me nuts. I've been saying this all season long that Coach Quinn is just not able to get out of his college ways. For those who don't know, he coached at Boston University, and he made the jump 2 years ago to the NHL to coach the Rangers, and it's just not making any sense. No defensive pairing for New York is the same. It's just always flip-flop. It's always someone with someone else and something new. And there's no chemistry. No one's being able to play. Everyone's being benched. There's only maybe three guys on the Rangers all season long that have been able to actually get into a rhythm. That's Artemi Panarin, Ryan Strome out of nowhere, and Mika Zibanejad when healthy.
Strome has been good for them. But my main point is here, I agree with everything you just said. He hasn't figured it out on how to be an NHL coach. I don't know if he's going to at this point. He's had a couple years now to kind of adjust to the game and figure it out. He doesn't seem like he's getting better. It seems like he's getting worse. You'd think a guy like Lindy Ruff would be able to help him out behind the scenes. We're not really seeing that much. We're not seeing, because Lindy Ruff has a lot of head coaching experience.
And that's who needs
He's a former NHL player. He has a lot of experience here. He could be helping Quinn. I'm not sure what the disconnect is there. I would also like to add that in the history of the NHL, I don't know if there's ever been a coach to come from college and really have a lot of success.
Yeah, no.
Herb Brooks, who won the gold medal with the 1980 Olympic team.
Yeah, I mean,
who's in some people's eyes the greatest coach of all time. He didn't have success at the NHL level.
He didn't.
Coming from college, coming from amateur athletes, there's some kind of disconnect there. I can't explain it, but I know that no coaches are doing it, and I think Quinn's going to just fall in line with all of that. I don't see him at this point, based on what we've seen and how he's progressed or gone backwards, I should say, I don't see that changing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he took a bench minor in the game against Edmonton for basically saying that the ref had like dopey ears. Oh my God.
Played myself.
I literally turned my phone on silent, and it still somehow made it through. And I'm on Do Not Disturb, so I really don't get it. Okay, so that was Anthony's starts, that was Anthony's sits, and that was Anthony's pee break and his call-ups. Sorry.
Yes. Oh, we did it.
The first ever Power Play Pee Break.
Yes.
Power Play Pee Break. Can I title the episode Power Play Pee Break? Okay. Moving on, my starts, my sits, and my call-ups here. I would like to start off with my start, because I'm not a Neanderthal, and I actually like to follow the rules. I am starting John Tortorella. He had the game Columbus against Chicago the other night ended in a Chicago win in a shootout over Columbus. Chicago tied the game up in the last seconds of the game, or Columbus almost tied. Jesus Christ! Here, I am just shaking. I'm all over the place with this game, all over the place.
Buddy, spit it out.
I'm trying to. Columbus, Chicago, tie game. Columbus would have won the game if the refs fixed the clock during the game. They ran off about three.
It was a second and a tenth to be exact.
So
according to Torts' rant,
a second and a tenth, and he literally. They got screwed because they scored with
time was expiring. They scored. If there was an extra second on that clock, they would have won in regulation. It was overtime. They would have won in overtime without having to go to shootout. They could have saved their goaltender, and he's got a reason to be hot. You said it.
Exactly. So I actually did my research here and I pulled up the Torts quote. So here we go.
There
we go.
So. The whistle blows. The whistle is blown at 19.2 on the clock. For some reason, the clock has run down a second and a tenth to 18.1. For whatever reason, I have no idea. So instead of resetting the clock, we have them tell our captain we're not going to do it. Toronto doesn't step in. Refs don't do their freaking job. And now we lose the game. And we lose our goalie. So the chain of events, if it was done right, we don't lose our goalie, we win the hockey game. So all this technology, right? The technology and getting things right, the stubbornness tonight by the officials and by the league and Toronto, however it's supposed to work, screws us. It's ridiculous. I'm not taking any
So...
20,000, well worth it. Well said by Torts there.
Yeah,
I can't. Okay, sometimes he just gets a little angry because he lost and he's trying to find a reason. That night
he has every right. We tweeted this out after that video came out. He has every right to be angry about this. How the NHL does this and they don't reset the clock for that time is absurd. That's like how do you do that? That's like men's league. That's literally like men's league.
Oh yeah. That's
a beer league move.
That's the exact kind of call you see in one
NHL,
of our games. Absolutely.
The National Hockey League just pulled a beer league move, a Jack's Ice move.
But hearing Torts go for an old school angry presser, it kind of makes me happy a little bit. Just because I love the passion on that guy.
Yeah, he's
one of my all time favorite coaches.
Hated to see him go in New York.
He needed to go in New York, and I didn't even argue when he left. It was time for him to go because he does kind of wear out his welcome a little bit with his coaching style, or he used to really because nowadays he is calmer. That was something you don't see a lot from Torts. He's more reserved nowadays, and I think after last year's sweep of the Lightning, and them. Playing tough against Boston, who was, you know, a period away from winning the Stanley Cup. I think his job's even if they don't have the next couple seasons, even if they don't have a great go, I think his job's pretty secure at least the next couple years in Columbus.
Yeah, no, I agree. We all love Torts, so I'm starting John Tortorella for being angry at the missed call.
Love
and
Torts.
I have a little bonus start here. We had the World Juniors. Team USA just was eliminated by Team Finland, but I am starting. Trevor Zegras, prospect for the Anaheim Ducks, he was red hot throughout the tournament. He literally, let me check the stat here.
Such a good setup, man.
Most assists in a single tournament with fourth all time in most assists in a single tournament, right behind names like Doug Weight, Phil Kessel, and Derek Stepan. All NHL, all big time NHLers. And Trevor Zegras, he literally, did you see the play, his spinorama pass?
Yeah, that's what I was mainly referring to on just how good of a setup man he is. It happened so quick. He did it with such precision. It's like, you know, when you see something like that, it's like, we're going to see this kid in the NHL. He's going to have an NHL career.
Yeah, he's so smart with the puck. He somehow is able to find someone open just about every time he enters in the offensive zone. So that is a bonus start. Trevor Zegras of Team USA. And it kind of leads me to my next topic, and it's my sit. I'm sitting the offensive defenseman. And normally, I think I've sat this before, but I've sat it on the NHL level. This time, I'm sitting the offensive defenseman in the development programs. That's junior hockey. That's college hockey. That's in the World Juniors. I see too much offensive defense. No one is a shutdown defenseman anymore. No one can play solid defense. Team USA, I believe, lost their game against Canada because of that during the tournament, because of plays that just, you have way too many offensive-minded defensemen that are all so focused on the puck and not worried about where they're supposed to be systematically. We saw Keandre Miller get out of position for the goal, turn the puck over against Canada. That's a Ranger prospect right there.
It ended up being the difference.
So you're seeing all these teams, they don't have defense. They don't have a defensive defenseman. So I'm sitting the development of offensive defensemen. And I'm not even, like, you think I'm hot about that? My call-up is something that I've been hot on, that I've been the hottest on, Anthony. Do you know my call-up? Are you aware of my call-up, Anthony? Are you? Are you here?
No, I don't know. I didn't look.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I like to be surprised just like everyone else, buddy.
So my call-up of the week, you might have seen it on Twitter or Facebook, of my Twitter and my Facebook. I went to Open Hockey on Monday.
Oh boy, here we go.
I went to Open Hockey on Monday, and there was a lot of it was a wide range of people out there of ages. We had the older crowd, we had the younger crowd, we had the me, and there are these kids there, youth hockey kids, about 15, 16 years old. And they're just acting like complete dicks out there. They're acting like complete assholes on the ice. And I thought to myself, why is it that every time I step onto the ice with the younger generation, they're all just disrespectful assholes that don't take anything serious and just try the highlight reel plays every time? I don't get it. So what I'm calling up here,
you good?
What I'm calling up here is I'm calling up respect for the younger generation to have respect for their elders, respect for the ice time that they get. Every time that they step on the ice, they need to be professional. They need to act. I'm just so rattled by this. I'm shaken.
You are a little rattled. You sound a little bit like the old man yelling at the kids to get off the lawn right now. But I do see your point underneath the rattled Vinny right now.
I am shaken.
I do see your point. And honestly, I don't blame the kids as much as I do the parents and the coaching, and I'm not calling any specific coaches out. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I just feel like these kids, they can't know what they don't know, and is all they know is what is being accepted at practices, team meetings, skates, and even in games. They're not seeing, you know, kind of what you were able to see in your time in Boston, playing juniors in Boston. You saw how a team is supposed to operate. The respect that you had for the older kids you were playing with, the respect you had for your coaches, there was the norm. It was demanded of you, and if you didn't show that respect, you didn't get to play. You weren't respected by your fellow teammates, and you wouldn't have made it very far at all throughout your couple years in junior. So, I think a lot of these kids they don't see that.
Yeah,
it's not all their fault that. What they know is, okay, just go out there, and if you're decent at hockey here in Florida and you're playing the junior teams here in Florida, and junior teams here, yeah, in Florida, they call them juniors still. If you're decent enough to be able to dipsy do around these guys, you're really considered as like an elite talent. When you know the style of play when you're playing where you played in Boston is it's got to be a team game because everyone's good.
And I was
everyone's got that skill level, and if you don't play as a team, you're not going to win. You're not going to get ice time.
I was very fortunate enough to be coached by some great people up in Boston who taught me that you have to be a professional on and off the ice, no matter where you're skating, no matter what you're doing, whether it's practice, whether it's pickup hockey, whether it's a game, you have to be a constant professional. And that is something that these kids, I feel like, are not being taught nowadays, because like I said, I went to Open Hockey. And these kids are just like, they're just doing dipsy doos. They're not passing the puck. They're just not doing the right things on the ice. And if like I was telling the guys on the ice, I was like, if my coach saw me doing that or heard about me doing what these kids are doing, he would not beat the shit out of me, but he would yell at me. He would make me. He would force me to do.
He'd make you feel stupid.
Yeah,
for
he'd
doing
make me
it.
Feel really stupid about it during a practice or something like that. It's just something that it's not being taught. And I give so much credit to Rich DiCaprio of the Boston Junior Rangers, where I played, for teaching me those lessons. And I just want, I'm calling up the whole moral of this is I'm calling up the respect and teaching kids nowadays who are growing up through the game respect for everything that they do and to be a constant professional wherever they go. That's what I'm calling up. That was our start. Wow, Jesus Christ.
Before you end that was a good segue. I think that's one of your better call-ups, because that's speaking to the future of the game. And when you say constant professional, I just want to clarify, we're not talking about these kids all going to the NHL, or if you play youth hockey, you're going to the NHL. They're thinking, like, just because you're in juniors, you're going to be a pro. That's the only life you have. Being a constant professional in life. Take the skills and what you learn from the game and apply it to everything in your life, to school, to your job, to your future career. Things like that, I think, are what's important. Should be the lessons that are being implemented and are being implemented for the most part in youth hockey around the country right now. Just something I think we would like to see more of, you know, in our own area.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. We hope to see it. So that was our starts, that was our sits, that was our call ups. Anthony, it is now time, before we get into our New Year's resolution, we're going to do a quick setup of the... Do you have a setup of the week?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wow. You know, every time... You don't put it in the notes anymore, so I don't know if you have a setup of the week.
No, I'm actually really excited about this one. Can I get into it here?
Yeah, go for it.
This week's setup of the week, it has to be Ben Bishop's Winter Classic setup. I love the tan and the green, and it's the first time we've been able to see the new Bauer line of the Ultrasonic. The Ultrasonic line by Bauer, so it's the first little look into that. I remember when Henrik Lundqvist debuted the Supreme Total Ones at the Winter Classic and how amazed we were by that set. I kind of had the same feeling when I was watching Bishop out there with his Ultrasonic set, like, ooh, that's awesome. And then a couple nights later, a little bonus setup here was his regular setup for the Stars. It's got the white instead of tan, it's got the white and the green. It looks awesome. And it looks, he's a bigger guy, and I think the bigger pad actually looks cooler on just the way he moves.
Yeah.
So it's just a very clean setup. And I love, first of all, I love unveiling of new lines, and that's the first I've seen of that. I know that there was a couple of photos of, I think it was James Reimer. Had his ultrasonics in practice, but hadn't debuted him in a game.
Well, Freddie Anderson's been using his blocker.
He's been using the ultrasonic blocker, but this is the first time I've been able to see a full set. It looks great, and I'm looking forward to seeing maybe the customization options. But actually, this is probably the best base graphic they've had since like the NXG line came out.
Yeah, I agree.
So I was really happy to be able to watch that, the whole classic, and I watched them last night against the Red Wings, and he wasn't in the game. It was Khudobin he started, but it was every time they panned over there, I was like, ooh.
Speaking of Khudobin, nice. That's who I was going to throw it back to. I actually like Khudobin's Winter Classic pads more than I liked Bishop's. He had the cream look. I'm a big fan of the cream pad.
Those cream Vons that they were...
The retros with the straps on them and everything.
Yeah, they looked really great. The only thing is I've seen those a lot.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, a lot of like amateur custom orders from Vaughn have that. Yeah. Have that look. If you look on GGSU, like every third pair for sale of Vons is that retro look. So like I've seen it a lot, and it is really cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to shine a light on the new line for Bauer there.
Yeah, for sure. So that was Anthony Milani's setup of the week. Now, without further ado, we are going to get into our New Year's resolution. I got a quick rapid fire, Anthony, a buy, sell, rapid fire. Are you ready for it?
I suppose.
I forgot how long that goes. I was about to like let it roll, and then I didn't. So real quick, rapid fire, Anthony. Let's get into it. New Year's resolution rapid fire. The Tampa Bay Lightning have figured it out and are back.
Yes, absolutely. I've been saying that they're going to all year. I wasn't worried about them. I even said that a little adversity early on is probably the best thing for them, as last year they just dominated everyone in the regular season, and then when they finally had to face it in the playoffs, it kind of caught them by surprise and they were never able to recover. So I think the adversity they faced at the beginning of this season is going to carry with them through the playoffs. I think their experience of getting swept last year will carry with them, and I expect them to make a deep run into the playoffs. The only thing that worries me is even though they have Pat Maroon, they still lack a little bit of toughness. It's a lot of skill, And we're really going to need to see Andrei Vasilevskiy shine in the playoffs like he does in the regular season. A few nights ago, he had like a 37-38 save performance to help him secure the win over Buffalo. It was really great to see him do well in the regular season, but he has to transfer that to the playoffs. That's the biggest question mark for me, is Andrei Vasilevskiy being able to steal them a couple games in the playoffs, because that's what's going to get them to the next level.
Chicago, 5 points out of the wild card spot right now. Chicago will miss the playoffs for the third straight year.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're going to miss.
That's going to happen? Okay, yeah, so okay. Darcy Kemper will win the Vezina.
Ooh.
Buy or sell?
No.
No?
No.
He leads the league right now in goals against and save percentage.
Yeah, I think the Vezina is a lot like some of the other trophies. I don't think they're going to give it to
the right person.
Yes, I think he may deserve it. I think because this is kind of like his, he's more having more of a breakout season.
Yeah,
I think they.
It's like Robin Leonard. He's the Robin Leonard of this year.
Yeah, it should be based on that. But I think because of the way they do the voting, he won't win.
Last buy or sell here: Washington is the best team in the NHL and will finish as the best team in the NHL.
Regular season, yes, they roll. They get good goaltending. They have good defense. You have Ovi and Backstrom continuing to light it up. Still arguably the best two guys in the NHL together. So I do expect them to finish strong at the top of the league.
Side note here, before we get into our actual New Year's resolutions main event, I love the warm-ups for Tom Wilson and TJ Oshie. Have you seen those?
They're like, funny they're little like, things with the like nut yeah. check and slap each other in the back with the stick.
Yeah, stuff is fun.
You love to see it.
That stuff is fun for sure. That needs to be advertised more. More personality. New Year's resolution time, Anthony. Though we are entering the new year, and these teams, I'm about to give you four teams, and we're going to dive into what these four teams need to do to have a better 2020 than they had of 2019. So, the New Jersey Devils, how do they fix things? How do they go into 2020 and be a better team than what they are?
I think that they're already on the right track. They got to they traded Hall for some future picks. That's kind of the monkey off their back. Now they can get back to focusing on playing. They've been playing better recently. I don't see them making the playoffs, but I see them finishing better than they started. And that's being led by some decent goaltending they're getting from that Blackwood kid who's had a couple he's had a couple of good starts. They beat Boston with him in a shootout, which is impressive. That's not easy to do. So they just need to keep kind of plugging away in what they're doing, playing the game the right way like they have been, and I think they'll be okay. I still see them missing the playoffs, which is probably the worst case scenario for them.
Yeah.
Honestly, is continuing to play well, because then they'll end up with that 9th or 10th spot, which we worried is like, you know, it's your odd. The Rangers got lucky last year and got a high pick.
So did New Jersey. The Devils are a team too. They got the first pick after being a team similar to the Rangers.
I wouldn't count on it happening again. So I really don't see them doing much this year, but they do have a lot of young talent. So I think this year is more about assessing that talent, and next year I think they're going to be kind of where the Rangers wanted to be this year, whereas they had all the young talent. And now this year they wanted to see what it could do. So I think next year the Devils are going to be really looking to see what they can do with all that young talent.
Might be trading PK Subban as well. That rumor's flying around there.
I've seen that rumor.
Not sure how true it is or not.
Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't seen any really valid people talk about the possibility of it. I've just seen it kind of swirl around on Twitter. Nothing crazy with that yet. I honestly don't see them moving him, especially as he gets closer to the deadline. They're going to get less and less for him. I think that he stays, and you know they reassess their needs in the offseason.
For sure. So we move on to, we go out west, we go far out west to Vancouver here. How do they keep the foot on the gas? What's their New Year's resolution to get better, to continue doing what they're doing? The West, like I said before, has been very, very strong.
Yeah, it's
so what does Vancouver need to do this in 2020 to make sure that they do not let up?
They need to stick with the tandem goaltending. Jacob Markstrom is technically the starter, but they need to give him his rest. They need to keep starting Thatcher Demko, who's been great as well. They've both played well. The West is very tough, so they need to do exactly what you said. They need to keep the foot on the gas. They need to treat every game like it's a playoff game at this point, because they've been out of the playoffs for the past, what, two or three seasons. So for that, I think their goal right now is to make it in.
You know who's been underrated for Vancouver right now? Former New York Ranger JT Miller.
He's been great.
I saw a stat the other day that I was talking about how JT Miller is one of like four players in the league that have over 40 points and have registered like 50 hits or something this season. Like he's been grinding it out, making plays happen, and doing what he has to do. Who is that that just knocked his that the dude's? I don't even know who. We're watching the Winter Classic highlights in the Miro. What is it, Miro Heiskanen of the Dallas Stars and Craig Smith of the Nashville Predators? Yeah. He just knocked his helmet, just pushed his helmet right off. It was great. Yeah. So, Anthony, that is Vancouver. Now we move on to the back east, to the Columbus Blue Jackets. How do they get to the next level? What do they have to do to get into the playoffs?
Honestly, I have no idea how well they're how they're playing as well as they are. And they're outside of the playoffs right now, but they've surprised a lot of people, including myself, with how competitive they've been. And I think that speaks to the kind of coach Tortorella is. He wants to win. He doesn't care what he has. They lost a lot over the offseason. Duchesne and Panarin, those are two huge guys. They lost their starting goaltender, and they're somehow still in the thick of things. So I don't think it even matters exactly who Tortorella has. Him being behind the bench and demanding what he demands from his players, they always have a chance. They're always going to play that hard-nosed, in-your-face style of hockey. They're not going to be pushed around by anyone. And as we've seen a lot this season, they step up against the better teams. We've seen them shut out the Capitals. We've seen them beat the Lightning. In the regular, this regular season, not talking about last playoffs, I'm talking about this season. They've shut out the Capitals, they've beat the Lightning, and they come to play when it matters, and a lot of that has to do with coaching. So as long as Torts is behind the bench, and as long as the players are wanting to play for them, because we know how that goes when it goes sour.
Yeah.
But for right now, as long as the players want to play for a guy like that, who demands the best out of his players at all times, they're going to be successful. And they're going to do it with guys who you're going to be like, I've never heard of this player.
Yeah. He's gonna get the most the most out of every single individual that's on that team is basically what Torts does.
They're not gonna have any 40 goal scorers. They're gonna have just a couple 20 goal scorers.
The Columbus Blue Jackets are the Sox of Christmas.
They are. they're just getting the job done. I can see them squeaking into that wild card spot. I can also see them slightly missing it, but they're going to be there, and they're going to be a pain in the ass for everyone else in the East.
So basically what we have right now is, for our New Year's resolutions, the Devils just need to continue to try and build on what they have right now to try and either make a late push to the playoffs or just do what they can to be the best team that they can possibly be. The Vancouver Canucks are pretty much in that same boat as a New Year's resolution to keep firing on all cylinders, roll with the tandem backups. Then you got Columbus, who their New Year's resolution is to have Torts just keep doing what he's doing behind the bench and rolling with what he has. Last team, Anthony, and I look over this and kind of wraps up our New Year's resolutions with those other three teams. But this team I put in here because I did want to talk about. We talked about Dallas earlier. And one thing with the Dallas Stars is they have the most comeback victories in the NHL right now. We saw it in the Winter Classic against Nashville. What do they have to do? Like, how do they fix that?
I was going to say, that's not something you want to brag about going into the playoffs, because it's going to be a lot harder to come back from those 2-0, 3-0 deficits.
But it is good.
But they keep doing it, and it's good. You're right. It is good that they know, they trust themselves to be able to come back. But it's really not something you want to rely on doing in the playoffs. So if they want to make my prediction come true, they need to figure out how to get the jump on other teams. You've talked about it a lot. Focusing on the last two periods is very important. I think that's something you need to nail down.
Another thing I learned in juniors, buddy, I learned a shit ton. If only I was actually good at hockey. I learned so much.
Yeah.
If only. First two, last two is such a big thing in hockey. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, when I was playing, I guess this has been a big show of me bragging about junior hockey. When I was playing juniors, our coach preached first two, last two, and what that meant is you have to start the first 2 minutes of the period strong and the last 2 minutes of a period strong. And that's what we saw for Dallas when in the Winter Classic for the second and third period. They did what they had to do, started strong, ended strong, and ended up winning the game. But what they have to do to continue to do that, they have to get that first period, that first 2 minutes strong, and that's not what they're doing. We saw it in the Winter Classic as well. Nashville got off to a hot start. They went on the power play for a very long power play for the Corey Perry thing. Ended up capitalizing, but they were able to finish strong. So what Dallas just needs to do is get off to a hotter start and stop coming out as sluggish as they have been. That's our New Year's resolutions. That starts its call-ups. That's it, Pims of the Week. That's Anthony's setup of the week. That's been a loaded show. We had Kevin Weeks intro of the show, which I'm still pumped about.
It's been fully loaded.
Fully loaded. I can't title the episode that. I'm still thinking about titling it P-Break. the P-Break Pod, something along those lines. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Power Play Podcast. Just need to remind everyone, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate the feedback. For Anthony the Backup, I'm the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.